You are now expecting me, at least if you worship here regularly, to read the Ten Commandments, God's holy law, and I will do that. But before we do that, why don't we look at question and answer 114 and 115 of the Catechism before reading the law. You find it on page 80 in the back of your Psalters. We just finished the study of the Ten Commandments, and we want to think about the further application of that as also expressed in these two questions and answers. And it would be good to hear them before we even listen to the law this morning. So question 114, but can those who are converted to God perfectly keep these commandments? Answer, no. But even the holiest men, while in this life, have only a small beginning of disobedience. Yet so, that with a sincere resolution, they begin to live, not only according to some, but all the commandments of God. Next question, why will God then have the Ten Commandments so strictly preached, since no man in this life can keep them? Answer, first, that all our lifetime we may learn more and more to know our sinful nature, and thus become the more earnest in seeking the remission of sin and righteousness in Christ. Likewise, that we constantly endeavor and pray to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we may become more and more conformable to the image of God, till we arrive at that perfection proposed to us in a life to come. We're privileged to read further from God's Word as we worship together. And this morning from Psalm 51 is our scripture reading. Psalm 51. And our text is from verse 7, the second part of verse 7. Let's listen to the Word of God. Have mercy upon me, David writes. O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you shall make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in your good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. So far the word of God. And we look especially at the phrase, as I said, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Dear congregation belonging to Christ and visitors who are here, as a congregation we have just recently finished a careful and close study of the Ten Commandments, each one. And why do we have that? Why do we keep going back to the Ten Commandments and looking at them, each one? Well, it's for three reasons, at least. The one is that we might really see our sins by the standard of God's law, not by looking at others or the measuring stick of the world, but by God's standards. That's one reason for keeping listening to God's law. A second is that we might be truly pointed to and drawn to Jesus, the only Savior from sin, the only one who can deliver us from our transgressions against God's law. And then thirdly, that we might really know how to live to God's honor and praise in life before God and each other. Those are the reasons we keep hearing and listening and studying God's law. And this morning, with Psalm 51 before us, my aim is to have us see more the value of learning God's law in the light of what David says when he repents from sin in his life. You know, Psalm 51 is a psalm written by David after he had fallen in grievous sin. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, someone else's wife, and then he tried to cover up that adultery by killing Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. And then we know David, he lived with that sin for quite a while. He tried to cover it up. He wouldn't confess it till Nathan, the prophet, spoke to him, sent by God. And then we read and are told how David broke down in true repentance of his sin, and he pleaded for God's mercy and grace. And Psalm 51 is an expression of his repentance before God, which the Lord has allowed us to have in the Bible for our instruction. And in this psalm, then, David says, among other things, "Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." The whole thrust and theme of this sermon this morning is on the preaching of God's law being so important that time and again, you and I will say and pray, "Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Whiter than snow. That's what we want to focus on. Whiter than snow are three main points under that thought. That theme is what a gripping picture here. And what a gracious provision is spoken of here. And what a glorious prospect is given us here. Whiter than snow. Children in church, can you think of anything that can possibly be whiter than snow? When I decided on my text this week earlier, I checked the forecast, and the forecast for Sunday here was snow. Well, that's not the case. We don't mind that. But you all agree, don't you, with me? Snow, when it comes down, how white it makes everything appear. If you go skiing or snowboarding, and there has been a snowfall the night before, and the day is sunny the next day as you head out for the slopes, you almost have to wear sunglasses of some sort. Isn't that true? And why? Well, because the gleam of the glistening, white, sparkling snow is so dazzling, so bright, beautiful, white. People like to have their teeth white as snow. I read about a man who went to visit someone where the mother had just done some laundry and it was hung on a clothesline to dry. And the man commented on how snow white clean the wash looked there outside on the clothesline. During the visit, however, it began to snow. And when leaving the house, seeing all the snow on the ground and around, the man couldn't help but comment how the clothes on the line didn't now quite look as snowy white as before. Snow is like God's almighty white, said someone. And really, if you think about it, what can be as white as snow? Snow is like nature in its purest state. Have you noticed and commented too before on how even most ugly and filthy places on this sin-cursed fallen world can be transformed into scenes of such beauty when God sends snowflakes out of his treasures of snow? Even garbage dumps covered over with layers of sparkling white snowflakes by the millions and billions can become actual scenes of beauty. But now notice, the psalmist praying not just to be washed and made white as snow, but he prays, notice, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Do you see the gripping picture here? His prayer is not just to be as sparkling white and clean looking, pure and spotless as the snow from heaven falling on this earth. But he looks to God for much more than that. We hear him praying in our text saying, as it were, Lord, I don't want to be just as white as snow in my life before you and my neighbors, but please make me whiter than snow. David asks here to be more pure than the snow-white pureness of nature. And he's praying and saying here something like, Lord, please cleanse and wash me in such a way that I be whiter than snow. Give me more than nature's snow-white pureness. Give me the pureness of yourself from heaven above. And again, when you reflect on it, with David speaking about being whiter than snow, we can understand that too, can't we? Even the children here in church will know, I think, that snow isn't all that pure, really. Snow is made up of dust particles connecting with water vapor, which has evaporated from the polluted waters of this earth and is in the air. And the dust particles and that water vapor connects, and then with cold weather comes down in the way of snowflakes. Snowflakes originate from particles of dust and the polluted water of this fallen world. That God created this wonder of snowflakes, each so marvelously designed and coming down so white, is a beauty of nature indeed. But a snowflake by itself, studied and observed, is not a matter of absolute purity by any means. Further, we know and observe after every snowfall how soon afterwards that sparkling white snow becomes dirty. Doesn't it? The pollution all around us with the smoke and the dust, and even dogs walking on the snow, can so quickly change the bright whiteness to a dirty white and to a yellow, and you name it. On top of this all, who of us doesn't know? Snow doesn't last. The snow melts and disappears after a time. We see it happening every year again. So when David here speaks of receiving God's saving help and merciful cleansing that will make him whiter than snow, it's a gripping picture. Do you hear it? Do you see it? He's asking here for such radical cleansing from sin by God, a cleansing and washing from all sin that will not just make him white as snow, but whiter than snow. Are you and I like that too, dear congregation? Children and young people? Older ones? Before God and your neighbor, are you content to be white as snow? Or do you pray and care to be whiter than snow? In this sermon, considering our text and the whole of Psalm 51, and also in light of the biblical teaching of Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 44, is it not correct to teach that it was a deep awareness and growing conviction and confession of how great our sins and miseries are by nature that made David pray, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow? When you and I once understand something of the measure and the extent of our sins and sinfulness by nature, then you can no longer live with a surface remedy from sin. Our sin problem and evilness of heart by nature is so wretched and so pervasive in every fiber of our being that we need more than a natural remedy to get cleansed and cleared from it. You and I need more than an outward transformation. We need more than just some temporary help, some seasonal adjustment. We need divine help from heaven above. We need supernatural saving help that will make us whiter than snow. Strikingly, this expression, whiter than snow, is found in the most well-known of David's penitential psalms. And what I'm saying here is, the more we know our sins and sinfulness before God's holy law, the more this then becomes our prayer and care and hope and joy and trust and confidence. What David prays here in Psalm 51, verse 7b, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. David, you see, can't be content with self-washing anymore, or partial washing, or simply external washing. How many people, alas, not understanding and refusing to hear the penetrating, uncovering scope of God's righteous demands in His holy commandments, how many are content with self-washing of some sort, or with some outer reformation of life in one way or another, and see that just as the essence of true religion? But true faith and conversion before God seeks for and asks for and reflects total transformation of life from inside out. I need a cleansing and washing from sin, not just to cover for my sins, but also my sinfulness. I need a cleansing from my sins and sinfulness that makes me and that keeps me forever sparkling white, not just before people, but before the all-seeing, all-knowing God. I need a washing from sin that deals with all my sins and sinfulness in thought, word, and deed. And a washing that not only clears me from all my guilt in sin, but that delivers me from the bondage and pollution of sin and leads me in perfect righteousness before God and my neighbor. And you see, it is the preaching of the law, with each commandment's earnest, righteous demands driven home to our minds and hearts time and again, that the Spirit uses to lead us in the way of true repentance and conversion to God. It's what He uses to bring that earnest prayer in our hearts, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. The law, you see, in the light of the gospel, unmasks the kind of delusion that thinks and concludes you and I are fairly good people after all. No, the law in the light of the gospel rather exposes how desperately and thoroughly and hopelessly and willfully and wickedly sinful and defiled we are by nature. And when that is understood in your and my heart, we realize something of the infinite holiness of God as revealed in His Ten Commandments, then is born this holy prayer and care and trust and hope. Lord, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Do you know this prayer and care in your life? Then if you do, won't you be the first also to be most humble before God and others? How blind we are when not humble to the dust, each one personally, before God and each other. If Thou, Lord, shouldst mark our iniquities, who then could stand? Not one of us, not you, nor me. All of us of ourselves fall far short of the glory of God and of meeting His standards of holiness and of righteousness. So let's not be arrogant before God, before each other. But let's each and all confess our sins and sinfulness and repent truly thereof. Why can we be so slow to repent of our sins as David was too? For months telling and persuading himself he was okay, there was nothing wrong with him or about him. Oh, the law is strictly preached and needs to be again and again, that you and I be convicted of our sins and sinfulness and pray earnestly and steadfastly, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. You know what? A true Christian can never be satisfied to be washed white as snow. No, Lord, I need more saving help than that in my life. Do I ever? Please wash me that I be whiter than snow. Isn't it true, too, that all our life long, living still in this sinful world and with our sinful selves by nature, there is reason, hearty reason, for this prayer of David here in Psalm 51. This is the constant cry of the true believer all the days of his or her life here on earth. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. When this is our prayer too, won't it show in our lives? Won't it show in our lives not being able to live with just partial obedience to God's commandments or a hit and miss type inconsistent holiness of life? Partly following just some of the commandments and not wholeheartedly following all the commandments of God? Christians in name, yes, hypocrites, they are satisfied to live inconsistently and without steadfastness and increase in the way of God's laws, but not God's true people. Sin bothers God's true people. When truly converted, you can't live even with so-called secret sins. When you truly pray, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow, you want your life by God's grace and Spirit to reflect something of that perfect holiness of God. And you are truly sorry, however and whenever, that is not yet so. Is this making sense now to you all, to your congregation? Does this preaching divide the believers from the unbelievers? Also among us, even now. Here, let me again read question and answer 115 of Lord's Day 44, where we are asked, why will God then have the Ten Commandments so strictly preached, and since no man in this life can keep them? And the Bible-based answer that the true Christian gives is, first, that all our lifetime we may learn more and more to know our sinful nature, and thus become the more earnest in seeking the remission of sin and righteousness in Christ. Likewise, that we constantly endeavor and pray to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we may become more and more conformable to the image of God, till we arrive at the perfection proposed to us in the life to come. Isn't it true now, dear congregation? When you get the gripping picture of our text with the psalmist's prayer to be washed whiter than snow, then you heartily agree with the Christian teaching of this question and answer 115. And how blessed and how wonderful when you and I too so understand and appreciate God's law in the light of His gospel. For what is the great gospel tidings? What is the good news for all sinners who repent of sin and call out to the Lord for His mercy and grace? I mean, how does God respond to sinners and to His people who call out to Him, praying once and again, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow? Here we come to our second point, the gracious provision proclaimed in our text. The gracious provision declared to us in the gospel of all God's word, including Psalm 51, is that God indeed has taken care to provide a salvation which makes us whiter than snow. This is the gospel, beloved. With the Lord is a salvation for us from sin, which doesn't start from anything of ourselves, or is dependent on anything of ourselves. Not even one little eye drop or one little particle of dust from ourselves contributes to our salvation. Not one. But God makes His people whiter than snow, all on His own, all from a heaven-sent Savior with a divine salvation work from start to to finish. Yes, through Jesus' shed blood on sinners' behalf. You know, when David in our text says, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." And David was thinking of the cleansing and renewing work of God by God's Spirit, as revealed also in the sacrifices in the temple. But all that bloodshed that David also witnessed in the temple, of all those animals and all the bloodshed of every animal on earth, can't and won't truly wash away our sins whatsoever. No, but as the book of Hebrews so clearly and magnificently brings out, Christ, by His once for all sacrifice, He brings about perfect cleansing and renewal to and for us. Yes, for sinners like us. The Old Testament sacrifices were instituted by God to point to that once for all sacrifice of righteousness, of righteous, perfect righteousness that Jesus obtained, yes, through His crucifixion on the cross as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Hebrews 10 verse 14 declares thus, "For by one offering, He, God, has perfected forever them that are sanctified," that is, them that are believing and following after Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. The gospel message is so amazing and so wonderful. Jesus, as God-sent Savior of sinners, would graciously, in and with His sinless life here on earth, obtain and mercifully provide a perfect righteousness before God for sinners like us. While at the same time, through His shed blood and sacrifice, even to the death of the cross, He would pay once for all, He would once for all pay for and remove all the sins of His people forevermore. In and through Him then, Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior, trusting and following Him by grace through faith, you and I can truly and really be declared and made whiter than snow, and forever be viewed by God as whiter than snow. Yes, even guilty, defiled sinners like David, and like you, and like me too, may really be washed whiter than snow by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. When that blood of Jesus Christ is by the Spirit applied to us with hyssop, meaning a little plant with very fine, tiny leaves. And that blood, that hyssop is used to, as like a brush, to work in that blood into every nook and cranny of our sinful being, getting into each pore and cell of our hearts and lives. Oh, then, by God's saving work, from start to finish, we can truly be whiter than snow. God's gracious provision is so gracious and generous and grand and glorious that words fail to tell its unsearchable riches. The Lord can and does work an inward and outward purity in our lives, which is supernatural. Yes, with Him is an almighty white to cover all our sinful blight. With Him is an almighty white to cover all our sinful blight. With Him is a salvation and righteousness freely granted to us that never can be stained or spoiled, and that never will melt away and disappear either. No, found in Christ and having His righteousness imputed to us by faith, though still remaining sinners in ourselves, we may yet stand before God with a perfect righteousness, with nothing less than Christ's spotless righteousness, forever imputed to us, placed on our account, as if it were our very own. And the blood of Jesus Christ removes all the sins and sinfulness of our lives, completely washing it away through His cleansing power. So John writes, doesn't he, in 1 John 1 verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So much whiter than snow does God grant all His people to be, that we read in Jude, when Christ comes again, He will present all his people, as many as repent of sin and trust and follow him, he will present them each and all as what? As faultless. Faultless. Before the presence of God with exceeding joy. Not sinless and faultless of ourselves, no, but faultless and without any blemish in and through Christ and his cleansing and renewing work, his washing us whiter than snow. Isn't this wonderful good news? Do you need this gospel too for yourself? And do you pray to be washed whiter than snow even now before God? Pray this prayer of David, confessing your sins honestly and openly before the Lord, and behold the mercy and love of God in and through Christ Jesus. He causes us. It's his work. And in the Hebrew text, that actually it's actually highlighted in the verb form. It's God's work from start to finish to have sinners like us, you and me, be whiter than snow. Praise God, too, that he doesn't only give us the status of whiter than snow in and through Christ, but the Lord works with Spirit-worked power to have that become our condition, too. True believers, in other words, pray and work. Not only wash me and I shall be whiter than snow, but Lord, help me that I may live holy in praise and honor to the Lord and others, and so strive to live by all the commandments of God in all the details thereof. All God's gracious provision for us can be summed up in his working as triune Savior God to give his people a whiter than snow salvation and righteousness. Something that begins to show in this life already. Here in part, and hereafter in perfection. As one put it, quote, though snow is white below, as well as on the surface, you, O God, can work the like and so much more purity in me, and make me so spotlessly clean, through and through, both now and forever, that only an expression like whiter than snow can set forth my immaculate status and condition. Isn't this something to be so thankful for, dear congregation? Can you and I ever thank God enough for his whiter than snow salvation in and through Christ Jesus and the Spirit's application of his work in our lives? A whiter than snow salvation for body and soul that holds in life and death and for now and forevermore. I need whiter than snow salvation from start to finish. And thank God, triune, it is his free gift to all who call out to him for his mercy and grace. Does anyone among us need this salvation? Who doesn't need it? We all need it to be and to remain saved. In this regard, just listen with me to the Lord's invitation, even as stated in Isaiah 1:18, to a sinful and rebellious people. The text read before the service. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And when this verse in Isaiah speaks of making us white as snow, it should be understood, comparing Scripture with Scripture, to mean making us whiter than snow, as our text in Psalm 51, verse 7, speaks of that. Will there be any lost sinner here who will not hear this gospel news? In yourself and of yourself, by nature you are guilty of endless sins and plagued with hopeless sinfulness and defilement before God, and you're headed to eternal condemnation and righteous judgment left to yourself. But with the Lord, as revealed in Jesus Christ, is salvation that can wash you, yes, even you, not just white as snow, but whiter than snow, even now, today. Come to Christ, the fount of all cleansing, and you will find his salvation so rich and free. With the Lord is salvation that can wash you not just white as snow, but whiter than snow. Do you hear? And dear child of God, when plagued still with guilt and evil of so much sin and sinfulness in your life and struggling so much yet, keep bringing it all to God. Day by day and day after day. And know this, with Him is plenteous redemption for you time and again. A salvation that makes you not simply white as snow, but whiter than snow, all for Jesus' sake alone. Someone wrote these following words in reference to our text. Maybe you know these words too. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want Thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Can you identify with these words? And this testimony of true faith and repentance and godliness before God and our neighbor. You know, when David says, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow, that's such a God-honoring prayer. He's saying, Lord, You are so great. You are so gracious. I know that to be true. And he didn't know half what we may know, living in the New Testament age. His statement, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow, is so in honor of that Messiah who was still to come in David's day. He knew that Messiah would do a saving work so great and so good. And surely He does. The great gospel message includes not just the gripping picture of our text and the gracious provision of the Lord in the light of our text, but also it gives us a most glorious prospect. Our third point. With this third point, I'm referring now not only to the new life that God has His people begin to live here and now in this world, along with that status of being justified and seen as whiter than snow in God's sight by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But we also have the promise, don't we? That one day God will lead His people to a place where we will be, in fact, forever, in body and soul, whiter than snow before God and everyone else. Isn't that the gospel truth for all God's people? God's sure promise is that all who trust Him and who live and die in the Lord, they will go to glory. And we read in Revelation 7 that there in heaven, before the throne and before the Lamb, they will be clothed with white robes. And when someone asks in heaven in that chapter, Revelation 7, what are these that are clothed in white robes and from where have they come? The glorious gospel answer given is stated, Revelation 7 verse 14, these are they who came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. White robed forever, with whiter than snow garments of salvation from Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. This is the certain glorious prospect for all God's people in the world to come. Can you imagine that glorious perfection proposed to us in the life to come? That is for all God's true, repentant, and believing people in this life. You know, there's no such glorious prospect for unbelievers, for those who remain unrepentant of sin. Proverbs 28 verse 13 says very clearly, he that covers his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. God forbid anyone here will just remain hardened in sin and covering up his sin and excusing his sin and continue unbelieving about the only salvation from sin, that only whiter than snow remedy from all our iniquities. If you should die in your sins, then even this service this morning not only will forever show your stubborn guilt and sin, but it will free us from responsibility for your perishing in sin. If you won't now hear the gospel message about whiter than snow salvation, even for the worst of sinners who calls upon the Lord, pleading His mercy and grace, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The glorious prospect to come for true believers, how wonderful it is. It's all of grace. And when we know it, it shows up in this life already, with God's people desiring not minimal holiness or part-time holiness or just some holiness, but already here, God's true people seek to be as holy and godly as can possibly be on this side of heaven. Excuse me. And is that true of you and me? Or do you live by a standard of godliness more of your own making or more pattern after the world, or more just comparing yourself to others rather than by God's holy, unchanging standards? Oh, that our lives might reflect true need for a whiter than snow salvation and righteousness, and real trust in Christ and His washing us whiter than snow, and true gratitude to the Lord in pursuing in everything, with everyone, everywhere, a whiter than snow standard of life and obedience before God and each other. Surely that's what David craved for and prayed for and rejoiced in, and then sought also to reflect and promote with all his heart and life, as the whole of Psalm 51 clearly relates to us. Are you a whiter than snow type Christian in regards to your repentance and faith and godliness, or not so? If you can be content just to be white as snow, as sadly so many confessing Christians are, living superficial and worldly lives, you need God's law pressed home more so you can clearly and fully and deeply see what God demands from us and what sinners we are and the infinite holiness of the Lord. Psalm 51 proclaims whiter than snow salvation for blacker than night sinners like you and like me. Will you be washed with whiter than snow salvation from the Lord initially and for as long as you live to? And does your and my life reflect the same by God's grace? Whiter than snow. Yes, whiter than snow, salvation and sanctification is what I need and desire. And praise God, He freely gives that too for all who call upon Him as often as we call upon Him too. If David already, in his Old Testament days, could pray and believe, "Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow," won't you and I too so believe and rejoice in the Lord by God's grace? Isn't that the gospel purpose now, also of this message based on Psalm 51 verse 7b? Oh, may this gospel word so bless us in every fiber of our being that everyone can know and see we are and desire to be whiter than snow Christians in all we think, say, and do by the grace of God through the Savior of sinners, Jesus Christ the Lord. And to Him be all the glory from start to finish and to all eternity for a salvation for sinners that's whiter than snow. It's a wonder that snow is so white in nature. But this wonder is so much greater and grander and accomplished all through the precious blood of Jesus and applied to us by the Holy Spirit. Eternal hallelujahs to God triune for the Lamb that was slain, in whom is all our salvation from first to last, from beginning to end, from start to finish, a salvation that makes us whiter than snow. Won't that lead you to pray too? Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Amen.